Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
But yesterday we talked about beards on the show and I couldn't believe the reaction it got. It polarised you people out there, lovers of beards, people who weren't so keen on beards. But one person who got in touch with us was John, and John is the beard champion of Ireland, and we managed to get him on the phone. His name is John McNally. John, good morning to you, and good morning to you and your beard. Tell us, how did you become the beard champion of Ireland? How are you?
Not too bad. I think it was around 2014 when the Festival of Finn down in Cara Finn ran the International Irish Beard and Moustache Championships, and I won the first one, and then I kept going back over the years, and it was just a great bit of crack, really.
Okay, what is required in that? How do they judge the best beard?
There's kind of a couple of categories. So you'd have full natural beard, kind of like the Viking one you were describing yesterday, then goatee, moustache, and then styled.
Okay, styled and whatever, because we were talking yesterday how the kind of the evolution of the beard has come. You know, we're talking about J.D. Vance in the States and his beard and how it's unusual in America to kind of be in public life and have a beard. But you, where do you work, by the way?
I work in the law, the legal sector, so I'd be in the courts fairly regularly.
Right. And what kind of a beard do you have? Describe your beard to us.
I've had a few people said it's luxurious, but I suppose the full natural kind of ZZ Top is
ZZ Top
the street quite a bit. Yeah,
the only beard to have. Okay, so you're a ZZ Top beard. So you're not like Frank Beard, who was the only beardless one in that band, if I remember correctly, in ZZ Top.
No,
which
I also don't play the drums either.
Okay, so you're a big bearded man. Well, not saying you're a big bearded man, but you've got a big beard, right? And there you are down in the courts, which is a pretty straight place to work. I worked in the courts myself for a good while. Not many big beards going around there. How do people look at you in the courts in your kind of legal life?
Get some strange reactions, but it's quite useful because you know how busy you can get yourself if you work there. So I just describe myself. If you haven't met the person, they can find you pretty quickly. But there's a few beards and moustaches around these days.
Yeah. It's getting more kind of popular. But you also work on Valhalla and Vikings. We were talking about that yesterday, and I'm watching Vikings Valhalla at the moment and on Game of Thrones. And when you got in touch with us, you let us know that as well. So were you an extra on those?
Yeah, I was just an extra, and on Vikings, I did some of the rowing on the boats as well, the longboats.
Wow. And what about your beard in Vikings? How useful was your beard in Vikings?
I definitely got cast as a Viking. I never played a Saxon or any of the French invaders or Normans, but it was quite useful. The only problem was if you're in battles and they'd have to put fake blood on it, so it got a bit sticky then.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking there about Matthew McConaughey not wearing deodorant, and we were talking about the heat all over Europe and hitting 43 degrees. Do you get hot in that beard, in your luxurious beard?
It could be quite hot, but as you said yesterday, it can be kind of self-cooling as well.
Yeah.
Keeps the sun off your face.
That's what Jamie said here, our sound engineer said he felt it was cooling. So you think it can be cooling in hot temperatures as well?
Yeah, it kind of regulates temperature, kind of like the hair in your head. Just kind of wicks the sweat away from you, I suppose. But I'm not too uncomfortable. It's mainly the costumes that you wear on period dramas. You have many layers, and then if you're indoors in the studio, there's lots of quite hot lights shining on you. So that's where the discomfort comes in, especially in Vikings when you had six fires going beside you and then all the studio lights on. It could get quite hot.
My goodness. And I know you were on Game of Thrones as well. Did you play a wildling?
I was a White Walker, so I was in episode 2 mainly of season. So extra. You won't see me. I'm about 3 pixels, I'd say.
Well, of course, the White Walkers came in the night and stole the babies and all that. So they were the scariest, really scary ones. But what about, you say when the blood falls on it and all that, or they put the fake blood on it. What about regular everyday life, like eating a 99 now? Would you chance that?
Occasionally, but you do run the risk of smelling of milk for the rest of the day. So you might ask for a spoon if you're getting one.
So is it kind of difficult to eat certain foods? What about when you're in a restaurant? And what about if you're on a first date now with a beard? Would you have to be careful of what you order?
Sometimes, but I mean, I suppose it encourages mindful eating because you're really paying attention to where everything's going, making sure it all goes in. But if you ever see somebody with something in their beard, they won't be offended if you tell them it's there. They'll probably thank you for it.
Yeah, because you can imagine that. Yeah, that's something we could drop down easily and all that. Very, very interesting when you think about it.
But every fork is a tiny comb. <as
well. laughs> Okay, tell us about your beard maintenance, because yesterday we talked about the evolutions of beauty around beards and how you've got beard oils and how there's specific people that you go to get your beard clipped and how it's done properly. So you must have an actual comb. You don't have to go around using your fork like you would in Valhalla, a wooden fork to fix the old beard.
I'd use a comb, all right, or a tangle teaser. Give it a quick brush in the morning after getting out of the shower.
Okay.
And then if I have any oils to hand, I'll use them occasionally. But I wouldn't be defining myself. I don't have an exact routine. I kind of just let it go naturally. And if it gets caught in zips and things, okay, you might lose a few hairs. But that's the way of life.
That's the way of life. And would you ever shave it off?
I've done it for charity a couple of times, but I'm going to leave it on for a while now because it's kind of my look now. People know me for it, and I'd have a ridiculous tan line. I'd look like a raccoon or a Hamburglar if I shaved it off now, just tanned around the eyes.
Oh my God, it's true actually. You'd have to use a fake tan. Seriously, you would have to use fake tan on the rest of your face. But you know, there's another side of it. We talked about aging earlier on, a different type of aging when it comes to people who are far too young that are going down the roads of tweakments. But when you wear a beard for a long time, it probably saves your skin a bit because, you know, the elements, UV light is aging as well as sun.
Yeah, it would. It would keep the sun off and the UV. And I do a bit of sailing as well, so I don't have to worry about getting burnt from underneath from the water. So it does protect you from that as well. Yeah. But then you kind of get complacent about the bits that are exposed, like your nose. So I have to remind myself to put sun cream on that.
You know, I know
but
you
yeah,
said
the rest of the face kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah, it does. I know you said when you were traveling, some people might think you're from another country. Tell us about the Prague story.
Oh, yeah, well, some people can kind of make presumptions, so you can kind of get a bit of abuse if they have prejudice, certain types. So, yeah, you can kind of... I once had a guy chase me in Prague because he thought I was Russian after Ukraine was invaded. And then when he found out I was Irish, we were all best friends. It was kind of very strange experience.
It's funny, you'd never think about facial hair having an impact of perception. I wouldn't really. But now that you're talking about it, it's interesting, isn't it, really? I feel I've journeyed with the bearded people of the world in the last 24 hours now after this discussion here. Tell me, designer stubble or full beard? What's your opinion? Obviously, full beard is the one. And what about people who don't like beards? Do you call them shavenism? Is that what you call it? You've invented a new word.
Well, yeah, shavenism if they're trying to get me to shave it off. A lot of people are like, would you not just shave it? And it does get me extra work outside of what I do on a day-to-day basis. So
that's great. I love that. You've got that kind of side kind of haggle on the go now because you've got a beard. Listen, thanks so much for talking to us. By the way, have you ever worked, who have you worked famously, Irish big names? Tell me. Barry Keoghan, is he up there with any of them? Have you worked with him?
Not that I know of. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, been on Fair City a couple of times as well.
Interesting. And on the Vikings, of course, you had all those guys.
On the Vikings, and then the chap from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
His name escapes me, Liam.
All right. Oh, yes, Liam, Irish, of course. Okay, listen, hopefully maybe one day you might work with Barry Keoghan and that would be great. And would you be interested in seeing his girlfriend, Sabrina Carpenter, if she's coming to Ireland? Did you hear she's coming to Ireland next year for a concert? Would you be a fan?
Sort of. I mean, her songs are always on the radio.
Yeah,
I have wide-ranging tastes. I'm not just a rocker.
Well, you might hang around that concert now and you might meet Barry Keoghan. I might get a gig on his next big Oscar-nominated movie. Listen, thanks a million for chatting to us today. Long live the beard and all that.